Okay, Chevra, so we are back. We are back to learning Maseches Sukkah. It was just Pesach, so now it's time to get back to Sukkah. If you remember, let's just, well, up to Chavvav Amar Aleph. I think we'll kind of start from the two dots again that we did last time, and we'll try to keep on reading Gemara because there's a lot to say. So the two dots on the bottom of Chavvav Amar Aleph, the Mishnah says that, the Gemara says, Uchlim Achilas Arai Chutz L'Sukkah. You see that? See that line? Now, compare that line, by the way, to the way it appears in the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah on Chavvav Amar Aleph, right? The Gemara, when it has like a two dots, usually quoting the Mishnah.
B'shosin.
Right, so the Mishnah says, Ochlim B'shosin, Nachon. Right? And in the Gemara's Tzitzut of the Mishnah, that word B'shosin is conspicuously absent. Now, that word B'shosin is also quite problematic. The Gemara has like this whole discussion of how much is Achilas Arai, right? And the Gemara ends up saying the way the Rishonim and the Gemara, it's like the amount that a student will eat, like to run into Shear just to take the small snack, because you never know when the Rebbe is going to go on and on and on and on, right? And that ends up being Pas Yosem Mikabetza. Shetia, is it mutter to drink outside the sukkah? Is there such a thing as Shtiyas Keva? So the Mishnah sounds like there is. But the tzitut that our Gemara has of this Mishnah sounds like there isn't. However, if you look in Rashi, in the Gemara, if you remember, the Gemara's conclusion was k'detayim barbe rava ayolakala, right? The amount that a yeshiva student eats, like when he just goes into the shir. So look at the Rashi, k'detayim barbe rava ayolakala. Zot Rashi, b'boker k'sholchan beis medrash, in the morning when you go to yeshiva, v'doeg shema yishmuchu hashmuels, right? That's exactly why we said it. You're nervous that the Rebbe is going to go on and on and on and on. V'toeim melo piv v'shote. Right? So Rashi adds the word shtia. So the question is, am I ever obligated to drink inside the sukkah? This is a legitimate halachic question. Tafresh lametesa if beis, the question is addressed. I sent you to the Ran on Yud Aleph Amir Aleph Bedafi Harif. Right? Do you recall what the Ran said to address this question of Shota?
Can I try?
Please.
I think he said that if you're drinking to like with your achilas arai, like just a little bit to like wash down the food or something, like that would be considered a shtiyat arai.
Right. In other words, if I'm eating a snack and I drink to get that snack down, that's called a shtiyat arai. But the impression I get from the Ran, perhaps, is that let's say I'm eating an achilas arai. Let's say I'm eating a full-fledged meal, like a bunch of kibbutzim worth of bread. So in that case, it's possible that I'm not allowed to drink outside of the sukkah. The din is, if I understand the Ran correctly, the din is that shtia is nigrar achar achila. The drinking is kind of an accessory. It's connected to the achila. So if it's achilas arai, so the drinking is arai. If it's achilas keva, presumably the drinking is keva. The Mishnah Berurah in one place, I was just looking quickly. I couldn't find the Ma'ar Makom. I'd have to like look more carefully. Mishnah Berurah in one place writes that if I'm in the middle of a meal in the sukkah, a full-fledged meal, I should not take a cup of Coke or some other liquids that shall remain unmentionable. I should not take that and drink it outside of the sukkah, because the shtia is nigrar achar the achila. And that seems to be the way the Ran presents it. So far, so good? There is another approach, which is that there is something called shtiyat keva, which would be if a group of people join together as a group to drink. And it probably means they join together as a group to drink wine. So what do they have, like a wine and cheese party or something? Like, that's what you're doing. You're getting together to drink. So that might be a shtiyat keva. It might mean that if you have kevios, if you have a full group of people who get together to drink, that is considered, that is chayiv in sukkah. The simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is that if I eat achilas keva, which means bread more than a kibetza, then I'm chayiv in sukkah. If I eat achilas arai, meaning I have, let's say, only peiros, and the Mishnah Berurah adds if I have basar and dogin, I have meat and fish and fruit, I have like a whole, what we would call dinner, basically. You have like a full meal. So the Mishnah Berurah says, no, you're not chayiv in sukkah in that case. Because the only thing that's chayiv in sukkah is achilas keva, which means what's it called? Which means eating bread more than a kibetza. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, Mutar lishtos mayim v'yayin v'lecho peres chutz v'sukkah. You're allowed to afil kava alayhu, right? You're allowed to eat fruit and drink wine outside of the sukkah, even if you're a koveya. If I have an entire meal, which is a salad, right? Has anyone ever done this in their life? No, you have an entire meal that's like a salad, an entire meal that doesn't have bread. It's just meat and fish, etc. Zakt the Shulchan Aruch, there is no chiyuv of sukkah in that case. So that is a really good question that we will talk about in like 2-3 minutes. Maybe. I don't have an answer to that question, but it's a really good question. But the basic idea is, according to the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, there's no such thing as keva by peiros. There's no such thing as keva by yayin. I think there's a line in Seinfeld in one place where he says you can't make friends with salad. No? Is this correct? But the basic idea is there's no such thing as keva with peiros and with yayin. Drink as much wine as you want, even if you're drinking it with a group. You are not chayiv in sukkah. That seems to be the pashat halacha. However, the Mishnah Berurah has a discussion, and the Mishnah Berurah says that the Mishnah Berurah in Seif Katan Yud Gimel, I think I asked you to read this, he says that most achronim assume that yayin is like eating peiros. However, there are many achronim, and he quotes that the Bach and the Lavush and the Prisha, they say that if I drink yayin bekvios, I am chayiv in sukkah. If I sit down with a whole group to drink wine, then I am chayiv in sukkah. So there are two opinions in the Mishnah Berurah, whether if I drink wine bekvios, I'm chayiv in sukkah. So what would you say? Am I mechayiv in sukkah if I make Havdalah? I make Havdalah and a cup of wine. Am I mechuyev to go into the sukkah for Havdalah? Based on what we're saying, what's the answer? No. Right? There's no chiyuv to go into the sukkah for Havdalah. Because...
Don't you make a lay shave?
No, you don't. You should definitely not make a lay shave. You could go and drink wine. Again, it's a nice idea not to even drink water outside the sukkah, but do not make a leishev bas sukkah. Don't make a brach of leishev bas sukkah if you drink wine, even bekvius. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes in Seif Katan Yud Gimel. And the machlokas in the Mishnah Berurah is whether or not wine bekvius requires a leishev, requires sukkah. Right? That's a machlokes with the wine bekvios. Mishnah Berurah says, certainly don't make a lay shave. I would argue that wine by Havdalah is certainly not kvios. Kvios means that I get together with a group, I sit down, we decide, Rahman al-Sanam, if you've heard of these things, we're going to go to a bar. Right? That's kviyas. We make a decision. This is what we're doing. Just drinking one cup of wine at Havdalah, I don't think is kviyas by any stretch. There should be zero obligation for sukkah by Havdalah. According to the Mishnah Brura over here. The problem is that there's a Mishnah Brura later on in Se'if Katin Lamed, where the Mishnah Brura writes that if you want, the Mechaber writes, if you want, you could daven in your sukkah, you could make a minyan in your sukkah, you could make a minyan in shul, you don't have to daven in the sukkah. And the Mishnah Brura writes, Havdalah mavdil b'sukkah. The last line of the Mishnah Brura, Se'if Katin Lamed. So there's a contradiction in the Mishnah Brura. On the one hand, in Se'if Katin Yud Gimel, he says that there's only a chi of sukkah on wine if you're koveya. And even then, it's a machlokas whether there's a chi of sukkah on wine, because maybe wine is the same as peiros. So even if I'm koveya, there's no chi of sukkah. But the Mishnah Brura contradicts himself that he writes in Se'if Katin Lamed that you make Havdalah on You make Havdalah in the sukkah. Now, there are some who say that you should recite Alei Sheva Sukkah when you make Havdalah. I honestly think it's wrong. I don't understand why the Mishnah Berurah says you should make Havdalah in the sukkah at all. But he says that. I think what he means is, listen, all things equal, you know, Havdalah is like a big idea. It's a big thing. It's the end of a Shabbos. You know, make it in the sukkah. Why not? I don't think he means that you're really chayiv to make it in the sukkah. Eschata'e ani mazker ayom. I live in Washington Heights. The sukkah is not exactly right next to where I am, right? I don't go and walk two blocks to the sukkah to make a bari prei agafen. I'm not doing that. Even when, before I lived in Washington Heights, like when I was with my parents, it was like, whatever, it's always a schlep to get my mother out to the sukkah. Even when like she could walk, it was like a schlep to get her out to the sukkah. I'm not going to make people go into the sukkah for Havdalah. You're not mechoyev. I think it's important to know the Ikar Halacha. The Ikar Halacha is what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that eat peiros to your heart's content. Be kovei on peiros, no chi of sukkah. Yayin is the same as peiros. Yeah, there are some who disagree. Shulchan Aruch seems not to paskin that, like that opinion. You want to be frum if you're koveya on yayin, go into the sukkah. Okay, if you really want to be frum, you don't drink anything outside the sukkah. Great, but if you're not that frum, right, make havdalah at home. The Mishnah Berurah says make havdalah in the sukkah. Yeah, if I have a sukkah right next to my apartment, you know, like something like that, but it's not a big deal, make havdalah in the sukkah. But I should not be matriach myself to make havdalah in the sukkah. This is something I feel strongly about. I don't know if you can tell from the passion in my voice. I am not into an obligation. Certainly do not make a leishei basukkah when you make havdalah. It is not proper. Okay, is this clear? Good? Tova, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. I could be remembering the halacha wrong, but if it's raining on the first night, is the halacha that you say kiddush in the sukkah and then you do everything else in your house?
So the halacha is that you say kiddush and hamotzi.
Oh, and hamotzi.
The basic idea is that the first night of sukkahs, there's an entire school of Rishonim who say that the first night of sukkahs, there's no exemption from the sukkah even if it rains. Remember, we have this gezeirah of tesvav, that we equate the yontav of Pesach to the yontav of Sukkot. Just like on Pesach, I have to eat matzah, even if I'm mitzta'er, right? Even if you'll get a stomachache. I know many people have not yet recovered from the yontav of Pesach, right? Even if you'll get a stomachache, you're mechayev to eat matzah. So some say that the first night of Sukkot also, even if you're mitzta'er, there's a chiyev in Sukkah, based on tesvav. But so therefore, because of that, you make kiddush and hamotzi to be yolkei lo shittos. We also do not make a bracha in that case, by the way. If the first night is right, you don't make a bracha of leishei basukkah, right?
But in general, we say the bracha of leishei when we say hamotzi and not when we say kiddush.
So I will make the bracha of leishei when I make kiddush, because my meal will be a meal that has hamotzi, meaning pas, more than a beitza, more than egg size of bread, right? In other words, I can make the leishei basukkah if I know that I will be eating that amount of bread later on, so I may as well make it a kiddush. If it's in nicely, why not? But the chiyuv of le'ishev asukkah, the mitzvah of eating in the sukkah, the bracha is only on pas yosem mikabetza. So far, so good? Now, Tanya asked, what about people who can't have pas yosem mikabetza, can't have bread at all, the gluten-free people? Someone was telling me that they like stack up on lady fingers. By the way, I find that to be the most offensive name in the planet. No, for cookies. I just find it offensive. But baby fingers does not make it better. It actually makes it worse. But that's a different spiel. The point is, I know people who like stack up on all these Pesach, I don't know if you could call it food, these Pesach cookies, because they're gluten-free and they'll eat it all year long. Right, this is the time of year that you can get it. Does that change the halacha of sukkah? So the pashta says it doesn't. The simple idea is that there's like an objective din that to be chayiv in sukkah, you need pas yosem mikabetza. Rav Shechter happens to feel that you should be machmir. I think this is what Tanya was getting at. That since our eating habits changed, you should be machmir, meaning to say, the idea of eating in the sukkah is teshuvah ken tadiru. Anything that I would eat at home, right? I wouldn't eat it on the road. I have a meal at home. So that's considered achilas keva, a meal that I'd have at home. At the time of the Gemara, bread was like a staple of their meals. Even at the time of Rishonim. But today, like tonight for dinner, I had some rice, I had some chicken, right? I very rarely eat bread during the week. Right? Bread is not a staple for meals. So Rav Shechter feels that you should be machmir and not eat a meal outside of the sukkah. In the sense of bizmanenu, the definition of meal is different than it was then. So in Shulchan Aruch it says there's no kviyos on peiros. But for us, right, no kviyos on peiros means it's not a meal. Right? But for us it is a meal. So don't eat a meal, don't have your rice and your chicken outside of the sukkah. That's a regular meal for you. But at the same time, you're not going to make a leishiv sukkah. Right, the objective definition of chi of sukkah is pas yosem mikabetza. So far, so good? Okay. Ms. Gutman, how are you?
Doing good. If I were to play devil's advocate for the Havdalah people, who make a lay shave, would it make a difference if there's a large gathering? Because Havdalah is a ceremony, and I would say that it's that could a ceremony with a lot of people maybe is a keva like gathering.
So I don't know. My understanding is, I'm going to push back on you. My understanding is that keva means that a whole group of people gets together to do something. Like I think going to a bar is keva. We all get together to drink. I don't
we
know
all get together to be mavdil, being kodesh, whatever.
But let's be honest. Like it's one cup of wine. That can't be called shtias keva. I get together because, you know, I went to NCSY at some point in my life and I like the songs. I don't know. But it's really, I don't think that makes a keva. I really don't think so. And someone was telling me, Talmud Chacham was telling me that he heard that Rav Soloveitchik felt that Havdalah is by definition considered keva. And, you know, Rabbi Heshi Reichman has this book of the Shirim of the Rav on Sukkah. And this Talmud Chacham was like, he said, I was looking through and I couldn't find it. And I'm like, yeah, I never heard that the Rav said it. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me that a cup of wine by Havdalah is considered keva. It really does not make sense. And even if it would be considered keva, if I'm koveya on peiros, I'm not chayv in Sukkah, right? So there are some Rishonim who say that if you're koveya on yayin, you are chayv. And we got into this because the lashon of the Mishnah is ochlin v'shosin. They have the Mishnah say ochlin v'shosin arai chutz the sukkah. You can eat and drink arai outside the sukkah. If by definition that would imply, excuse me, that would imply that shtias keva would be chayiv in sukkah, right? Which would be against the simple meaning of the Shulchan Aruch. That's sort of the conversation that we had. So we have two ways of dealing with that. Either shtias keva is chayiv in sukkah in the sense of if I'm in middle of a meal, I should not even have a drink outside of the sukkah because the shtiyah is nigra acha v'achila, like we suggested. The alternative pshat is that maybe kviyos on yayin is chayiv in sukkah. But again, I think both of those are the two perushim of how you deal with that line in the Mishnah. But it's worth noting that the tzitut of the Mishnah that's found in the Gemara does not have the word shosin, although Rashi does throw it in. That's basically the way we presented the shir so far. Good. Anyone ready to talk about sleep? Good. Hey, we like sleep. Everyone likes sleep. You should like sleep. Tanya Rabbanan. It's seven lines before the lines get wide. Chafav Amalav. Tanya Rabbanan. Ochlen achilas aray chutz l'suka ve'en yashenim shinas aray chutz l'suka. You eat a snack outside the sukkah, but you don't take a nap outside the sukkah. Shena sarai is a nap as opposed to a full slumber. So you can't sleep shena sarai outside the sukkah. My timer. So Ravashi gezeira shema yeradim. Ravashi says that the reason you cannot sleep outside of the sukkah, even take a nap outside the sukkah, is because gezeira shema yeradim. We're worried that you might really fall asleep. I'm sure we've had this experience. Everyone's had this experience. No, you put your head down for just like 3 minutes, and the next thing you know, it's like Tuesday. You've had these experiences in life. So that's what Rav Ashi says. Shenas Arai fundamentally should be mutter outside of the sukkah, but there's a gezera shema yaradim. There's a gezera that it might become a full-fledged sleep. Amalei Abaya, Ela Hadatanya Yoshin Adam Shinas Arai Betfilin Avlo Shinas Keva Lecha Shema Yeradim. Abaya asks, he says, if the concern is that when you take a nap, you might fall asleep to a full-fledged sleep, so how come when it comes to tefillin, you're allowed to take a nap wearing the tefillin? Now, we should point out that the Gemara in Shabbos says that the reason not to sleep in tefillin is a gezeira shema yafiach behem. The concern is that maybe while you're sleeping, you might pass some gas, and therefore you're not allowed to sleep wearing the tefillin. But Abaya's kasha is, if you're making a gezeira that you might have your small nap become a full-fledged sleep, so that gezeira should apply to the tefillin also, and therefore you should not be able to take a nap in your tefillin because of the gezeira shema yeradim. And the halacha is you are allowed to nap inside your tefillin. You are allowed to nap while you're wearing your tefillin. That's a bayis kasha. So Rav Yosef, great Rav Eloi, but moser shinoso la'achirim. The Gemara's answer is, Rav Yosef says, that you're only allowed to take a nap wearing your tefillin, if it's Moser Shinoso L'Acherim, you have a neighbor and you say, wake me in 10 minutes, no? I always do this every Shabbos afternoon. I tell my kids, like, wake me in 25 minutes, wake me in half an hour. Right? Moser Shinoso L'Acherim. So that's when you're allowed to take a nap in the tefillin, and presumably the same would be true in Sukkah also. If it's Moser Shinoso L'Acherim, if you have someone who's your designated waker upper, so then it would be permitted. So maskefla Rav Misharshia, arvach, arvat sarach. Rav Misharshia says that your cosigner himself or herself needs their own cosigner, meaning, so I'm taking a nap. So I tell Shmerel, wake me up in 15 minutes. So you might ask, who says Shmerel's going to be awake in 15 minutes? Arvach, arvat sarach. No, that the guy who's supposed to wake you, maybe that guy himself will fall asleep. So you can't say that Moser Shinoso La'achirim solves the problem. Now, Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach is like, I don't understand. Why would we be so choshesh over here? Right? He actually leaves this as a kasha, especially by tefillin. By tefillin, let me just finish the thought, Tanya. By tefillin, the idea is don't sleep in the tefillin because we're worried you might pass gas. So not sleeping in tefillin is a gezeira. It's a gezeira drabonim. So then we say, oh, you'll have someone who will wake you. So it doesn't become a full sleep. Okay, good. The Gemara says, no, that doesn't help because maybe that someone's supposed to wake you is going to fall asleep. Like how far-fetched can it get? Right? There's an issur drabonim. Like Shema Yafiach Behem. That's why I shouldn't fall asleep, right? The whole thing, and therefore what? One guy might not help because you might need someone else. Rav Shlomo Zalman Aravah says, I don't understand this whole Gemara. Why are we being so machmir on the sleeping that we say Arvach, Arvach, Tzarech, especially in the context of tefillin? In the context of Sukkah, it might make a little more sense because in the context of Sukkah, we're dealing with a potential Dairaisa. Right? The din is that there's a chiyuv to be in the sukkah, a mitzvah min ha-Torah to eat in the sukkah. That means it's usur to not eat in the sukkah if you will have achilas keva. Shena, right? Shena's keva is going to be a din d'oraisa. Don't sleep outside of the sukkah. So there I could understand why I'm super machmir. But by tefillin to be so machmir, there's no Muhammad says, I don't really understand why that's true. Okay, Rav Shlomo Zalman gets a little fancier, but for the time being, this is what I want to say. Tanya, you got a comment?
Yeah, it's a comment. Although once you developed Rav Shlomo Zalman, it kind of undid my comment a little bit. But thinking that at that time they were tefillin all the time, it's like people doze off. And maybe it's not gzeira al gabe gzeira. It's just something to prevent people, because everybody sometimes just kind of dozes off. So it's not necessarily two gzeiras. It's just one to prevent people from falling asleep in a sense.
But remember, dozing off itself is not an issue in this film. The issue is that if I'll be asleep for real, I shema yafiach.
Wait, right? But everyone dozes off and therefore there's always the shema yuradim.
So I think if I understand what you're saying correctly, Chazanish in a few places has this type of idea that it's not called a gzeira legzeira if it's like fully shchiach. If it's something that's like very understandable, like this could happen at any moment, any time, that's not a gzeira legzeira. Okay, I hear that point. I think that's a fair point. Okay, good. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman actually gets a little bit fancier over here. He has the following case. Let's say you have a family. You can imagine a family like in Me'ah Sha'arim. You know, you have 10 sons and they all want to sleep in the sukkah and there ain't enough room. So Rav Shlomo Zalman discusses, is it permitted to have people fall asleep in the sukkah? And then once you're asleep, pull you out and the next guy goes in, because once you're asleep, so then you're not really chayiv at mitzvah. So you're an ones, you're a misasik. So is it permitted to pull the guy out of the sukkah to have extra sukkah room? Right? This is a Gemara cup to think of this type of idea. No? To have a sukkah that could hold 5 beds, there's 8 people in the family who want to sleep in the sukkah. What's the problem? Right? Whoever goes to sleep first, right, ends up being that you need a cot on wheels, I guess. Right? Okay. That's his suggestion. And he says he thinks, technically speaking, when you're sleeping, you are exempt from sukkah. Because when I sleep, I'm really exempt from mitzvos in general. I'm asleep. I'm an anus. I can't do mitzvos. The isser is to go to sleep. The isser is not to be asleep. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, oh, well, if this is correct, so he understands the parallel between sukkah and tefillin better. You see, on a certain level, how can you compare sukkah to tefillin? Tefillin, the issue at hand, is full-fledged drabonon. If I fall asleep, gezeira shema yafiach. It's only drabonon. But sukkah, there's a din d'oraisa. I'm not allowed to sleep outside the sukkah. The answer is, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, yeah, there's a din d'oraisa not to sleep outside the sukkah. And what are you worried about? You're going to doze off, you'll sleep outside the sukkah. If you sleep, you're really an anus. Once you, the isser is to go to sleep, right? If you fall asleep on your own, then you're really an anus, then you're going to be putter, just like I can pull the guy out of the sukkah once he's sleeping, right? So if I fall asleep, You're worried that maybe it's going to become a full night's sleep. No, that's an onus already. Once I fell asleep, if it continues, I'm an onus. So therefore, there should be no iser at all. Therefore, the comparison between sukkah and tefillin is very apt. I see some blank faces. I find this fun. Okay, I got a smile. Fine. Should we go on? That's the first point in this Gemara. Oh. So the Gemara has a question. Why should I not sleep at Shenas Arai outside the sukkah? Why is it usher to nap outside the sukkah when it is mutter to nap in tefillin? You can't tell me that the iser to nap outside the sukkah is because of a concern that maybe the nap will become a full-fledged slumber, because if that's the case, there should be usher by tefillin as well. So Gemara has a suggestion, well, maybe you have a shomer. So he says, no, the shomer ain't going to help, because maybe the shomer needs a shomer himself. Ella Amar Rabba Barba Chana, first white line, Amar B'yochanan, v'meiniach rosho bein berka v'askinan. The case by tefillin, where I'm allowed to nap wearing the tefillin, is if it's the type of nap that cannot possibly become a full night's sleep. You put your head between your knees. Or, to give a modern day example, if you try to sleep on an airplane, there is no way it's going to become a full sleep, right? You're like all in these contorted type of positions, right? That can't be a full, you can doze off that way, but that can't become, the Gezeira Shemin Yeradeim won't apply. Right? That's the suggestion of Rabbi Barbar Chana. That would mean, by the way, that by sukkah and by tefillin, they're both the same. Keva is usser, arai is mutter when it comes to sleep. Maybe I should be worried that the arai will become keva. The answer is that if I have my head between my knees and I'm sleeping this uncomfortable way, then I'm not worried. And sukkah is the same as tefillin. That's what the Gemara is up to over here. Rava Amar. Rava gives what I consider like the most yeshivish answer ever. Ein keva l'shena. Any of you want to explain this to me? What Rava means at Ein Keva L'Shena?
Mine and Tova's understanding was that you don't have control. There's no like permanent or not permanent in sleep. Like sleep is sleep. You can't differentiate with it the same way that you can with food.
True, but Rashi adds a bit to this. By sleep, I can't distinguish between keva and arai because you ever took an hour nap at work? Right? You can gain as much. That 5 minutes that you put your head down at the desk, right, can be as refreshing as a full night's sleep sometimes. That's what Ein Keva L'Shena means, according to Rava. Right? That's why Rashi writes it. Sometimes just that tiny little nap is very refreshing. So therefore, when it comes to sukkah, we say categorically, do not take a nap outside of the sukkah, because oftentimes a nap is called keva. By tefillin, the issue at hand is because of Shema Yafiach. It's not a din in sleep per se. It's a gezeira that you might pass gas. If that's the case, so I don't distinguish. Oh, if that's the case, excuse me, I say that a nap is permitted, but a full night's sleep is also in the tefillin. By sukkah, it's a different idea. By sukkah, the idea is that you have to be in the sukkah for those activities, teshu kentaduru. Those activities which are your normal, regular activities that you do at home, that's what you have to be in the sukkah for. So what do I do at home? I eat at home. How much do I eat at home? A full meal. What do I do at home? I sleep. Now, since the halacha does not distinguish between sleep, that there every type of sleep could be as keva as you want, right? Even a 5-minute power nap could end up refreshing you. So therefore, it's a home type of activity. The fact is, I'll take a power nap at work, but still sleeping in the sense of a refreshing night sleep, or a sleep that refreshes me, is fundamentally a home-based activity. Ein kevalashena, Rava tells me, means that sleeping by definition is a home-based activity, because when you want to refresh yourself, you do it at home. Sometimes you end up sleeping elsewhere and it's also refreshing. But fundamentally, sleep is a home activity. And fundamentally, even Shenas Arai is a significant thing, because Ein Kevala Shena. So resonates with you, Chevra? So far, so good? Okay. Excellent. Let's go weiter. So according to Rav Halacha, we assume that sleeping in a sukkah is very different than the din of sleeping in tefillin. Right? Until Rava in the Gemara, we're saying that tefillin and sukkah is the same. And fundamentally, keva is usar, arai is mutar. And we try to come up with these explanations. Maybe someone will wake you. Maybe your head is between your knees. But fundamentally, sukkah and tefillin are the same. Rava is coming up with an idea that by sukkah, the definition of sleep is something which is refreshing, and a shenas arai, even a small nap, is oftentimes very refreshing. That's what Rava says. Oh. Should we go back to the Gemara?
The Braisa calls it shenas arai, so how could Rava say, oh, the Braisa...
So, shenas arai means a nap. Rava explains that the reason why shenas arai is usar is because shenas arai is also oftentimes keva. It's not a gezeira that I might fall asleep for a full night. It's that little nap itself is halachically keva, because oftentimes that little nap refreshes me completely. That's the idea that Rav is getting at. We're good. Okay, Zakti Gemar Baita. Tani Chada, right? This is the end of the first wide line. Tani Chada Yashinotam Bitfilin Shenas Arai, Avalo Shenas Keva. One price is what we encountered already, that if you're in tefillin, you can sleep a nap, but you can't have a full sleep. Lo shenas keva. Tanya idach, bein keva, bein arai. The other braisa says that you could sleep a nap or a full night's sleep in the tefillin, they're both okay. V'tanya idach, and there's a third source that says lo keva, v'lo arai, that you cannot sleep in the tefillin, neither a nap nor a full night's sleep. So one approach is that by tefillin, arai is mutter, keva is usar. The other approach is that they're both mutter. The third approach is that they're both usar. Three braises, a three-way contradiction. Lo kasha zok the Gemara. Right? It's not difficult. Had nakat lahu biyodei. Had manchi bereshe. Had paris sudra alai ilavei. Okay, who wants to explain this to me? The three cases, the three braises, are referring to three different situations.
So Rachel was disturbed that they were out of order. When we did Rashi on them, she's like, how could it be that the answer are out of order?
I didn't even notice that. That's a complaint. Right? In other words, the first one, Nakat Lahu Biyodei, is the case when both Keva and Arai are Usar. Right? And that's Braisa number three? And the Gemara's answer has that as case number one. That's a very good question. It's a very good read. Okay, I don't know the answer to it. It's just a good question. But how do these three situations plug into the three braises? So if I'm holding the tefillin in my hand, I should not sleep at all. Keva uarai. Very often you fall asleep and like your pen or something falls out of your hand, right, when you just take that nap. I have actually broken coffee mugs this way. I'm probably not the only person on the planet who's done this. You fall asleep and stuff falls out of your hand. That's like natural. So Zok the Gemara, you're not allowed to even nap when you're holding the tefillin because of the concern that the tefillin are going to fall down, and that's going to be a bezayin for the tefillin. Right? They might fall off you. They might fall out of your hands. The other braisa that says, man chibereshe, the case that says that I'm allowed to take a nap, but I should not have a full sleep, that's when I'm wearing the tefillin. That's when it's man chibereshe, when it's on my head. When I'm wearing the tefillin normally, so the issue is a gezera shema yafiach, that maybe you'll pass gas. So in that situation, we don't make that gezera on a nap, we only make that gezera on a full sleep. The third answer, or the third source, is about Paris Sudra Ilaveh, that I put a cloth on top of the tefillin, meaning I put the tefillin near my head when I'm sleeping. The tefillin is, as it were, some sort of, I don't know if it's a pillow, because that the Gemara is going to say later on is going to be usher. So the tefillin is not right under me. You're not allowed to make the tefillin into your pillow, but the tefillin is right next to you. And Lomnit Natarlo Malachi Asharis, Rashi writes, like we're not so nervous about what's going to happen to the tefillin. It's right next to you. What's going to happen? They're going to get knocked down and they're going to, will be a bazillion. Like you don't have to be so nervous. If you're holding it in your hand, then there's like a reasonable concern that they'll fall down. But if it's something that's just next to you, so the concern that you'll knock it over or whatever and you'll be mevaza the tefillin, that's much less of a concern. Good? The Gemara goes on. Kama shena sarai. How much is a temporary nap? Now, this question is irrelevant for sukkah. Because la halacha by sukkah, based on what Rava tells me, everything is asr. But in Hilchos Tefillin, when the tefillin are on my head, as opposed to when I'm holding the tefillin, etc., when the tefillin are on my head, there's a distinction between Shenas Keva and Shenas Arai. Well, how much is Keva? Or how much is Arai? So the Gemara says, Tani Ramin Bar Yechezkel, Kedei Hiluch Me'a Amma. The amount of time it takes to walk 100 Amos. Now, let's say an amma is 2 feet. How long does it take to walk 200 feet? I don't know. Not so long, right? That's Shainas Arai. Tanyan Ami Hachi. There's a braisa. Hayoshin B'tfilin V'ra Keri. If a person is sleeping in tefillin, if a man is sleeping in tefillin, and the man has a seminal emission. Now, it's a bezayon for the tefillin, right? If you see keri in the tefillin. So you have to take the tefillin off of your head. The man who is wearing the tefillin has the seminal emission, has to remove the tefillin. So what you do is, yashin b'tefillin v'ra keri, ochez b'ritzu'a, ve'eno ochez b'ketzitza, divrei Reb Yaakov. You can grab onto the ritzu'as of tefillin, you can't grab onto the ketzitza. The ritzua are the straps that hold the tefillin. The ketzitza are like the boxes. The boxes of the tefillin, what we would call the bat, and actually the ketzitza is Rashi says it's the tefillin themselves. So the ketzitza has the letter of shakai on it. You have the shin on the ketzitza. So therefore, there's a lot of kedusha there. So you can't pull, you can't hold on to tzitza. That's like an insult to the tefillin. That's the first idea. Chachamim omrim, yoshin adam b'tefillin shenas arai avlo shenas keva. V'kama shenas arai, kidei hiloch mea amo. Shenas arai is the amount of time it takes to walk 100 amos, etc. So basically we just bring this braisa down because it supports the idea that we had that if the tefillin is on your head, you can take a nap. You just shouldn't have a full night's sleep. Taking a nap is defined as being the amount of time it takes to walk 100 amos. Right? So that is an idea that one of the Amoraim said in Omer Aleph, but we have a braisa that said the same thing. Zakti Gemara Baiter. Amarav. Osir la'odam lishan biyom yosem yishenas hasos. It's interesting. This din actually makes it to Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to take naps more than a horse sleeps. You cannot sleep more than a horse sleeps during the day. It's assumed to be lazy, and it's assumed to be bittul Torah. You should be fully engaged in learning and do not nap. Now, Shulchan Aruch and Simin Reish Laman Aleph, where it quotes this, it says, Hakol kefi shehu adam, meaning, kol ma'aseh yehi l'shem shamayim. Sometimes, the idea is I should be learning all the time. But sometimes, bitul zehu kiyuma, no? Very often, I need that nap to be able to learn well. So that's not the iser of Shainas, of Shaina Bayom. The iser sleeping during the day, that you're not allowed to sleep more than the horse sleeps, that iser is referring to a case when it's Bittul Torah. Bittul Torah means I could be learning. There's no Bittul Torah, Rav Schechter says it like this. Bittul Torah means at a time that you should be learning, learn. There's no Bittul Torah when you're at work, because you're not supposed to be learning at work. Right? If you're in the emergency room and you decide to learn Daf Yomi, it's a bad idea. You're not supposed to learn at that time. Dr. Tanner, am I right? Agreed? Okay, I have one vote on this one. Right? When you're at work, you should learn when you learn. There should be time to learn. Bittul Torah is when you should be learning. So then don't sleep at that time more than Shenas Hasos. How much the horses sleep? Shitin nishmi, 60 breaths. 60 breaths. The Rishonim, I don't know the Rishonim, in Shulchan Aruch, there are three approaches to how much is shitin nishmi. It is either 30 seconds or 3 minutes or 30 minutes. Again, I've never seen, the horses actually not sleep. I think they do sleep, no? I think every creature has to sleep. I mean, do fish sleep? I think fish might not sleep. See, this is your homework. Figure out if horses actually sleep or fish actually sleep. Humans, I know, do sleep. But the Gemara says, during the day, I should not sleep more than the horse sleeps. And that is shita nishmi, that is 60 breaths. Amar Abayi. Shnasei demar kederav. Abaye says that Mar, his master, meaning Rabbi Bar Nachmani, remember Abaye was a Yasom, and he was raised by Rabbi Bar Nachmani. Abaye's real name was Nachmani. So Rabbi Bar Nachmani didn't want to call his stepson Nachmani, because that's daddy's name, and you're not allowed to call, it says in Shulchan Aruch, if your father has an unusual name, you're not allowed to call anybody by the same name that your father has. Right? For me, my name is Ezra Yair Ben Karmi. Right? Even if it's Shalom B'Funov, even if my father is not there, I am not allowed to use my father's name because it's unusual enough name that's like an insult to my father if I would call anyone by that name. If your father has a normal name, like Chaim, Gershon, Tzvi, something like that, so then the Isser is to call someone with that name when your father is present. But if it's an unusual name, So the Isser is even Shelo B'fanav. Nachmeni is a weird, not a weird, it's an unusual name. So Abaye is named Nachmeni, and Rabba's father is named Nachmeni. So Rabba's father can't call this little stepson of his, can't call him Nachmeni, because that's daddy's name. Even if daddy's not around, I can't call him Nachmeni. So therefore, he gave him a name, a nickname called Abaye. Abaye means tata, means daddy. Right? That's Abaye's name. So Abaye says that my master, meaning Rabba, Shnase Demar Kidrav. Rabba sleeps the same amount as Rav slept. Udirav Kidrabi. And Rav sleeps the same amount as Rabbi Huda Hanasi slept. Meaning each person is learning from the Rebbe who they were raised by how much to sleep. You don't only learn Torah content from your Rebbeim, you also learn a hanhaga in life. Part of the hanhaga in life that they learned is not to be lazy, to sleep a minimal amount. So Abaye says, Rabba slept the same as Rav. Rav slept the same as Rebbe. Rebbe slept the same as David. David slept the same as a horse. And a horse sleeps 60 breaths. Right? We have a tradition that David slept 60 breaths, the same as a horse sleeps. The Gemara at the beginning of Brachos says that David HaMelech had this like this whole intricate system of like a harp that the winds would make it blow and it would play music and wake him up, right? Stuff like that, right? David knew not to sleep too long. Oh, Abaye.
Wait, did we just pivot from day sleep till night sleep?
Yes. The halacha is it's usher for everybody to sleep more than Shenas Hasus. But now we have these, that's during the day, that's day sleep. Again, unless you're doing it with Shem Shamayim, etc. Then we pivot into these Rabba and Rav and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and David, they would never sleep more than Shenas Hasus. That means even night sleep. Now that probably means in one shot. Right? That they would, right? They wouldn't sleep a chunk more than Shenas Hasus. That's what they did. Abaye Havanayim Kidma Ayel Mi Pumpadisa Lebekubi. Abaye one time slept during the day, Rashi says, the amount of time it takes to go from Pumpadisa to Bekubi, which is some other town nearby. Rashi writes, it's 6 parsa away. 6 parsa away. So Abaye slept that amount of time. Kari Alei Rav Yosef Ad Mosai Otzel Tishkav Mosai Tokum Mishnosecha. So Rav Yosef said, you're a lazy guy. Lazy person. How long are you going to sleep for? Right? That's the Pasuk in Mishle that Rav Yosef said about Abaye. I mean, there is more to say about these Gemaras, but I think it's probably Kedai instead of like, there would be more to say about the sugyas of tefillin, but I'm inclined to maybe just read till the Mishnah, and we won't necessarily have these conversations about Huchos tefillin, etc. I ask you to look at a Ritva over here and stuff, but those are more tefillin sugyas. Let's just try to finish the tefillin stuff in the Gemara, and then next week we'll get back to Sukkah. Tan Rabbanan. Hanichnas Lishan Biyom, Ratzah Choletz Ratzah Meiniach. If you want to take a nap during the day, if you want, you could put on your tefillin. If you want, you could take off your tefillin. Meaning, Rashi says that the concern over here is that the man who's wearing tefillin might have tashmish hamita with his wife. He might have sex with his wife with the tefillin on, which would obviously be an insult to the kedusha of tefillin. But during the day, we're not nervous about that. So if you want to put on the tefillin before you take a nap during the day, that's okay. Balayla, chulei tzeinu miniach, divrei Reb Nosson. Reb Nosson says that at night, you have to take the tefillin off because we're worried that you'll have a full-fledged shenas keva. And apparently in this situation, it's not just the gezeirah shemi yafiach, We're also worried that you'll have Tashmish Hamita. Reb Yossi Omer, Hayolodim la'olam cholzin ve'inan menichin, mipnei sherigilin betuma. Reb Yossi says that Yolodim means young lads never should put on their tefillin before they take a nap, mipnei sherigilin betuma, which the Gemara at first thinks means that they are likely to have a seminal emission, that they have a lot of herhurim, they have a lot of thoughts, they're likely to have a seminal emission.
Is tefillin only a daytime mitzvah? Isn't it mitzvah?
Tefillin is only a... So, me'ikar hadin, you're allowed to wear tefillin at night also. It's just a gezeira shemiyafiach. The Rambam happens to paskin that you should not wear tefillin at night on the fundamental level, but the pashtus is that tefillin is a mitzvah that would apply both by day and at night, just as gezeira shemiyafiach, not to wear tefillin at night. And that's what we've been saying. Yeah, the fact that tefillin is mitzvah saseh shazman grama is probably as more because of Shabbos and Yontiv than it is because of nighttime. So Rabbi Yossi says that Yoladim, young people, always take off the tefillin because they're regilim betuma. Lema because Rabbi Yossi, Balkeri is osur lahaniach tefillin. Does that mean that Rabbi Yossi holds a Balkeri? Right? Well, if you're assuming that the concern of Rabbi Yossi is that the Bachurim, these young people, will see Keri, so that would assume that Balkeri should not wear tefillin. Is that true? So Abaya, no, we're talking about Yoladim, when the Shoseyani Mahin Askinon, Shema Yavoli Dei Hergodovar. The issue is that we're talking about young married people, I guess, and the concern is that they'll have Tashmish Hamita with the tefillin. We assume that Balkeri, or we could even say that Balkeri is mutter in tefillin, but Hergodovar is worse. Tani Rabbanan. Shachach v'shimesh mitasa b'tzvillin eino ocheso b'ritzua v'lo tzitza ad sh'yito yana v'yitlei mipnei sh'ayadayim askanios heim. If a man made a mistake and is tashra shamita wearing the tzvillin, so you should not even hold the ritzua. You should not even hold the ritzua because of the concern that until you wash your hands, right? If you roa keri, so you could take the tzvillin off from the ritzuas. But if you have tashmish hamita, the concern is that your hands got dirty and it would be an insult to be bezayin to the tefillin to take them off even with the ritzuos. So therefore, you have to wash your hands before you remove them. Okay, again, there would be what to say on this Gemara, but I'm inclined not to say it. And next week, we will pick up from here. Questions, comments, observations? Hi, Tanya.
So I saw Rachel was first. Oh, I was just curious if people are allowed to eat in their tefillin, because I was thinking how tefillin and sukkah seem very similar. Like you're doing all your daily activities.
In the Iker Hadin, you are allowed to eat in tefillin. You should not have full meals in tefillin, etc. The Gemaras in Brachas speak about taking off the tefillin before the meal. Those are large meals when you might get carried away and have hesach hadas, you'll forget about the tefillin. That's the ritva that I sort of sent you to by design, not to discuss in terms of how can we have this entire conversation about the tefillin, about sleeping. Isn't there an isser of hesach hadas? Don't you have to be focused on the tefillin completely? That's a different conversation. Ms. Gutman, how is Judaism?
Judaism is going strong.
Excellent.
The Tanur Rabbanan was asking about sleeping during the day, and can you cholates or whatever cholates ratzamania, whatever that was. But we just said that you shouldn't sleep during the day at all.
So, yeah, that's a good question. That's a very good question. I'm not supposed to sleep more than Shena's Hasus during the day. So again, right.
Day or the night?
But so I think this Gemara is talking about even.
That's by Yom. You can sleep right? That.
Yeah. Hanichnas Lishon B'Yom, right? So your kasha is how can you sleep during the day? You're not supposed to sleep during the day. That's the kasha you're asking on the Gemara. So I think the answer is what we were saying before. That says in Shulchan Aruch that if I need to nap during the day, L'shem Shamayim, in order to have the ability to learn Torah, it's better than them allowed to nap during the day. So the question is, do you put on the tefillin to nap during the day? And it's like, oh, excuse me, I need to take a nap. I'll put on my tefillin. It's like a little bit of a strange situation, but yeah, that seems to be what's going on.
I also had a question on the page before. Well, actually, before that, I'm pretty sure that, so horses during the day, they'll sort of sleep while they're standing. One time I went, I'm not a horse expert, but you once went on like some kind of chalmai trip where like they make you follow them, you know, but they had a lot of horses there and I saw one of them standing and sleeping. So I asked one of the caretakers about them and she said, oh yeah, they fall asleep either like while they're standing. And then later at night, they'll probably have like a full night's sleep. So what they're probably, maybe the Gemara is talking about the like.
Yeah. Again, we have to speak to horse experts. I don't know. That's not my department either. Yeah.
And then the what Rava said on the page before, or the other side of the daf, that in keva l'shena, that formulation was really confusing to me, because it sounded like he was saying, therefore it's permitted because there's no kfiyah.
Yeah, I was thinking of that. It's written a little backwards. As if I would write that sentence, I would write in aray l'shena. The sleep is by definition considered keva, which is what he's saying. That's why Rashi understands it. The way he says it is a little bit backwards. I don't know the answer to that. That's a good question.
Okay. I think that was it. Thank you.
Okay, Chevra. Have a good night. I'm not 100% sure about next week. Or maybe there is no measure. In Kevla Shana, that's a nice way of saying it. There's no measure for sleep, but all sleep is by definition significant. Okay, there's no teaspoon or tablespoon of sleep. All sleep is significant. Got it. So next week, I'm not 100% sure that we'll be able to have Shia or not. We'll text at the beginning of the week or something and we'll figure it out. Okay, Chavra? Have a good night. Good Shabbos. Kol Tov.
Shabbos, thank you.
Shabbos, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.